This month's study has been on Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm going to read you an illustration, a story from David Jeremiah's Turning Points magazine, November 2013. All right. It talks about Alexander McKay, an engineer who was sent to Africa in 1876 by Scotland's Church Missionary Society. He labored through it all, never returning to Scotland, but leaving behind him a legacy of solid missionary work. When he arrived in Uganda, King Mutesa welcomed him and gave him wide freedom to preach. But when Mutesa died, Prince Mwanga slaughtered McKay's disciples with indescribable cruelty. Almost beside himself with grief, the missionary fell to his knees, his Bible open before him. The passage he read was Isaiah 51, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid?" Verses 7 and 12. McKay rose from his knees with a determination to continue his work no matter what dangers would come. With such a promise, he said, and such a refuge, and such a God, who shall be afraid? What inner virtue did Alexander McKay exhibit? What inner virtue did this man in this story, this account, exhibit? Faith. Somebody else?
Courage.
Tonight's subtitle is courage. He exhibited one of the highest of virtues. He exhibited courage. He could have quit, he could have given up, but he went forward with the thing that made him fearful. So courage. When I say the word courage, what comes to your mind? What definition comes to your mind when I say the word courage?
Perseverance.
He says perseverance. Somebody else?
Boldness.
What's that?
Magnitude.
Boldness, okay. This is what courage is. We're studying courage tonight. Courage is an inner strength to make the right and godly decision when stress and pressure are evident.
Amen.
It's facing your fear head on and doing the thing that you fear the most. Let me repeat that definition. Courage is doing the right and godly thing when stress and pressure are evident. Courage is facing your fear head on and doing the thing that you fear the most. That's what courage is. Tonight we're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Matthew chapter 1, if you've got a Bible, you can follow. If not, I'll read it to you. And at the end, we'll have Bibles to give away to you. Brett, do you have those Bibles by any chance?
Yeah, we got them.
Okay. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So they were engaged. Joseph and Mary were engaged. And in Jewish custom, we're going to do some history here. In Jewish custom, engagement was very serious. Was taken much more seriously than in the United States. It was almost like you were married in Jewish culture. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And you might be thinking tonight, what do you mean divorce her quietly? They weren't married, they were just engaged. But remember, in Jewish custom, engagement was very serious. In Jewish culture, to break an engagement, you had to issue a certificate of divorce. But Joseph was a righteous man. He loved Mary. He was looking out for Mary's best interests. So he didn't want to publicize her pregnancy. So he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, in other words, after he had thought, he was in a state of consideration. Joseph was going through some inner turmoil. Should I divorce her? Should I not divorce her? She's pregnant. What am I going to say to people? So Joseph, you've got to understand, was going through some inner turmoil. And in the midst of this, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, the angel in the dream didn't command Joseph to marry her. He focused on Joseph's fear. See, Joseph was afraid. It's understandable. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, he woke up from the dream, and we don't know if he immediately married her, but he married her. And there were still some fears he might have been dealing with in verse 24. He might have been dealing with the thoughts of, man, I'm going to have to explain to her parents and my parents that I didn't get her pregnant before the final act of marriage. That this was a divine act of God, that Jesus was conceived within her womb. So he was going through some fears. What am I going to tell her parents? What am I going to tell my parents? There may be some skepticism involved. Is that making sense? So he was facing some worry. He was facing some fear about what to do. But you know what he did? What did he do? In verse 24, even though he was facing thoughts of concern and worry and fear, he did what? In verse 24, he did what the angel in the dream commanded him. He did the courageous thing. He was scared half to death. And he faced his fear head on, and he did the thing that was scaring him the most. Is that good news here tonight? See, Joseph was a courageous man. Courage. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to encourage us tonight that we need to exhibit courage in our walk with the Almighty God. Exhibiting courage in our Christian walk. First tonight, I want to ask you this. Think about it. What has God asked you to do, perhaps in the last week, the last month, or the last year? What has God spoken to you in your human spirit to do within the last month, maybe the last week, the last 6 months, or the last year? What has God been asking you to do? Has God maybe been asking you to go overseas on a missions trip? And maybe it scares you half to death that He asked you this? Has God maybe been asking you to become more involved here at John 3:16 in this mission? Is it possible that God has been asking you to go down a certain educational path? To go to a certain school, whatever it might be? Is it possible that God has asked you to reconcile a relationship with somebody that has gone bad? Maybe He's been asking you to write that note, send that email, send that text. And could it be that tonight you've been facing fear concerning the thing that God has been asking you to do? What fear excuses have come up in your mind? What fear excuses have come up in your mind? Man, what if they don't accept me overseas on a missions trip? What if I'm not able to raise the funds to go on this mission trip that I believe God is asking me to go on? How can I go down this educational path? I've got no funds. I've got no resources. How can I go to that school that I think God is asking me to go to? You know, I don't know if I can really reconcile that relationship with that person. What if that person rejects me? What if they don't return my phone calls? What if they don't return my emails? What fear excuses are you coming up with tonight? Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that fear will paralyze you from doing the very thing that God is asking you to do. So what inner virtue do you need to exhibit tonight, like Joseph? What inner virtue do you need to exhibit tonight? Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that you need to exhibit courage like Joseph had in Matthew chapter 1. You need to face those fears head on and do the thing that scares you the most. Because God goes with you. God is with you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. On the other side of your obedience is a great and an awesome miracle. Could you say amen to that tonight? Don't let fear stop you from what God is telling you to do. Exhibit that inner courage. And you might be asking tonight, well, how do I develop this courage? How do I develop this courage? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. It talks about Joshua succeeding Moses and bringing the people into the promised land. And in Joshua 31, verse 3, we read, "The Lord God, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you." Moses is telling Israel. "He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you." Here's the key, friends. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it amongst them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." That's good news here tonight, right? What is the land that God is wanting you to possess, as we just talked about? Is that land maybe a reconciled relationship? Is that land an educational path? Is that land a certain ministry? Is that land maybe moving to a certain city? Whatever that land is, don't be afraid, because God goes with you. God is preparing everything in advance. God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you. Is that good news here tonight? You just say amen. God is always faithful, friend. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got your back. So how do we face scary situations with courage? By trust in God. Knowing God will never let you down. I'm here to say it again tonight. Listen, God will never let you down. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's right there always with you. You are in the palm of God's hand. He's got a miracle on the other side of your obedience, but you need to face what God is asking you to do with courage, because God is always with you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll give you a little story, a personal illustration. The tsunami happened in Asia. Remember that? Back in December of 2004. And I felt to put together a team to go to South India in May of 2005. So I had a team of four people. And the night before we left for India to do the tsunami relief project, one of my team members called me and he said, "Jonathan, I have a medical emergency. The doctor has told me that I cannot fly to India." So we had four people on the team. He and his wife were half the team. I said, "Oh, really? This is the night before we were flying out to India." He said, "I've had this medical emergency. The doctor says not to fly." So I said, "Okay, what do I do?" My mind started to race. God, is this in the wrong timing? Should I reschedule this trip? God, maybe you weren't in this trip. And my mind was racing, going back and forth and back and forth. And in the midst of it all, losing half my team, I sensed on the inside, "Go, Jonathan, I will be with you. It will be a success." And so in my own life, in a little way, I exhibited some courage there, because I knew that God was with me. And so what we did was, the next day, we boarded the plane, myself and the other team member. We headed out to India. It was a great time of ministry out there. We taught in a Bible school, and we brought the gospel to a South Indian village who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. That's awesome, isn't it? That's a miracle in itself. But in that situation, it took that other team member and myself exhibiting courage, knowing that God was with us, knowing that God was sending us, and a people who had never heard the gospel before, for the first time, got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, second, let me ask you tonight, what is holding you back from giving your life to Christ? Perhaps fear that you'll have to give up control of your life. Maybe you want to be in the behind the steering wheel of your life, but guess what? There's someone else that wants to be in the driver's seat of your life, behind the steering wheel of your life. His name is Jesus Christ. Has God been asking you to give your heart to His Son, Jesus Christ, for the first time? Has God been speaking to you? What's holding you back? Fear of letting go of control, perhaps? Fear of letting go of control? Maybe you feel that you'll have to give up some of the things you enjoy doing. Friend, but I'm here to tell you tonight, you take the first step. You do your best and God will do the rest. It takes courage to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you might be thinking, man, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I'll have to give up the alcohol. I'll have to give up the cigarettes. I'll have to give up the drugs. I'll have to give up whatever else that you may like doing. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you accept, by courage, if you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the pros outweigh the cons. Far outweigh the cons. Because guess what? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, comes to live on the inside of you. And He brings a peace which surpasses any human understanding. The drugs and the alcohol and the wrong relationships cannot bring you peace. Only Jesus can bring you lasting peace. So don't fear letting go of control, because when Jesus enters the human heart, your life will be forever changed. It takes courage to make that decision. What's holding you back tonight from recommitting your life to Christ? From recommitting your life to Christ? What's holding you back from recommitting your life to Christ? Maybe you accepted Jesus Christ in the past. Maybe you accepted Jesus in the past, but maybe you've slipped away from Jesus. Maybe you've gone your own way. Maybe you've started doing and saying some pretty bad things. So now maybe tonight you're in a backslidden state. What's holding you back from recommitting your life to Christ? Fear, fear of hypocrisy. You know, we do ministry on the streets of Tulsa. And there's people that we minister to, and when we talk with them, I talk with them, I say, would you like to give your life back to Christ? And one of the responses is this, but if I give my life back to Jesus Christ tonight, I'm afraid that I'll start living like the world again tomorrow. I fear being a hypocrite in the eyes of God. I fear hypocrisy. Friends, you don't have to fear hypocrisy. Don't let that fear hold you back from taking a courageous stand to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. You take the first step and God will do the rest. You know, the cigarettes and the drugs and the alcohol and the things you're struggling with, looking at things with your eyes you shouldn't be looking at, those things are not going to drop off your life instantly. They could, but most likely they won't. But God, if you take that stand to recommit your life to Christ, if you take that courageous stand to give your life to Christ, God will give you His grace and His strength for those bad things to drop off little by little. Is that making sense here tonight? But you have got to take the first step. If it makes you afraid to recommit your life to Christ, if you're scared half to death to re-give your life back to Christ, face that fear head on with courage, and there's a miracle. There will be a miracle on the other side of that act of obedience. Is that good news here tonight? God will give you His grace. God will give you His strength. The Lord God goes before you. He is with you. He will never leave you. Remember, He will never forsake you. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me ask you this question tonight. What's holding you back from living the godly life, the holy life? After you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, it takes courage to live a holy and godly life. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what your old friends might be thinking? Are you afraid that the people that you used to hang out with might call you weird or a square? Oh my goodness, look, he used to drink with us and he no longer drinks with us. He used to smoke with us and no longer smokes with us. Or he used to look at things with us and he no longer looks at these things with us. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what other people might be thinking? Don't let that fear paralyze you. Don't let that fear paralyze you. It's going to take courage to walk out the Christian life. It's going to take courage to live the godly and the holy life. But God will give you the courage because He's always with you. He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't matter if they think you're weird because now you're living a godly life. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. Is that good news here tonight? You know, when you stand in eternity one day before God and He questions you, He's going to question you. And you can't really say, God, I did this and this and this, or I didn't do this and this and this because of what this person might think. He's going to ask you, the only thing that you should have been concerned about is what I thought about your decisions. Is that making sense here tonight? It's only what God thinks about you that really matters in the face of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Final verse, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Living the holy life. Talking about courage in the Christian walk. Final scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 14. The writer writes, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So what's more important? Being concerned about what your friends think about your holy lifestyle or seeing the Lord one day? To me, seeing the Lord in heaven one day is much more, much, 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 much more important than what anybody thinks about my lifestyle of godliness. Amen?
Amen?
Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. How many here want to see God one day? How many want to see Jesus face to face one day in heaven? We'll start living the holy life. Amen?
Amen.
Face that fear of what people think head on. Face that fear and do the thing that scares you the most. Living the godly life. And guess what? One day God will say to you, if you live that holy life, that godly life, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Is that good news here tonight?